Today's date is March 24, 2012. It is now 11:24 a.m. Speaking is Special Agent Supervisor David Lee with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Also present in the room is Special Agent Johnny Batchelor with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and Firefighter Stacy Livingston with the Sanford Fire Department. Ma'am, as you can see, the conversation we're having is being digitally recorded.
Yes.
Okay. Can I get you to raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm the statement you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. For the record, would you please state and spell your full name?
Stacy Livingston, S-T-A-C-E-Y-L-I-V-I-N-G-S-T-O-N.
And you're currently employed as a firefighter with the Sanford Police Department?
Yes.
How long have you been a firefighter, please?
Since May 18th, 1988.
Okay. On February 26, 2012, you were assigned to Engine 38, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and approximately 7:30 p.m., I guess your unit responded to an emergency call on Retreat View Circle.
Yes.
Okay. From the moment that you were notified of the response, would you just kind of go forward and give me a narrative of what your actions were?
We just received the call. We responded to the scene. When we pulled into the subdivision, there was already several police officers there. They advised us that they had two patients, actually. I was directed to go to the patient up by the townhouse, I guess it is, the house. They advised that he had been shot and that their police officers were doing CPR. So we went to the patient, reassessed him. It was determined through assessing him in the cardiac monitor that he had, you know, he was deceased. And then I went, after that was determined, now do you want specifics like on what I did with him?
What you did, yes, what you did. What was your job? And let's clarify too, the patient that we're talking about, the one that was shot, is, we now know is Trayvon Martin. Is that the patient you're talking about?
Now, no, yes.
Yes,
at the time,
okay.
We didn't.
Thank you.
When I got up to him, like I said, the police officers were doing CPR.
Okay.
We kind of took over and we checked for airway, breathing, circulation.
You checked or somebody else?
I know that... I think myself, I know somebody else did, to be honest, I'm not sure. I think I was on his right side, somebody else was on the left. I think we were both checking, to be honest.
That's fine.
I think we were both checking because we were just trying to determine what we had. And I determined he was not. I think the other firefighter continued checking. I was going to get ready to start CPR, and I went to lift his sweatshirt. And I felt something big in it.
Okay.
It was kind of in the way, and I got a like a soda can or some type. I didn't determine what it was. I just put it at the side, and when we lifted up, I saw a bullet hole in his chest. And at the kind of the same time, because you know, often we're all doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
The paramedic that was in charge was putting him on the heart monitor.
And that was the paramedic was who?
Michael Brandy.
Okay.
There were actually two paramedics there, but I believe Michael Brandy was the one that put him on the heart monitor. And just kind of through everyone doing their own thing, it was determined that it was not a cardiac arrest situation, that we were going to do CPR, that the paramedic determined through his training that it was...
He was gone. So you guys were done.
At that point, we didn't do any, you know... He did what he needed to do medically to get the documentation for the heart monitor, and then I'm not sure who, probably the lieutenant, but somebody said, okay, it's a crime scene now, let's just back out. And then I went over, the police advised that they had another patient in the back of the police car.
The one we now know as Zimmerman?
Yes.
Okay.
And I went over to him, and... he was like kind of sitting sideways. I know the tape can't see me, but like out of the car.
He was sitting in his car with his legs out.
In the police car with his legs out, kind of, you know, just leaning. And I went up to him and, well, a couple of us did, but I went up to him and I asked the officers, can we assess him, you know, because we had no idea what the situation was that had occurred, and he said yes. And he, from leaning forward, he kind of had blood going, you know, on his face, and we just started to clean him up to see what his injuries were. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he could very well possibly have like a broken nose. Okay. Nose is bloody and swollen. Cleaned off the back of his head, because some of the blood had dried, so we kind of had to get it off to see what he actually had, you know. And he had two small, maybe, I don't know, maybe an inch, like lacerations kind of on the back of his head.
Okay.
One looked a little deeper than the other, but we just cleaned him off with sterile water and stuff and tried to get him to stop bleeding. And the police officer that was standing there asked us, you know, does he need to be transported by ambulance? And we just told him, you know, we'd be happy to take him. Looks like he may have a broken nose and could possibly need a stitch or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the determination was made, but I know that we left and it was determined that the police were going to take him to see if he needed stitches.
Okay.
And that was pretty... That's pretty much all that we...
Did Mr. Zimmer complain of it, of any of his injuries? Did he say anything about my head hurts, my arm hurts, my knee hurts, something like that, anything like that?
He was, gosh, I don't even remember exactly what he was saying. I know he was complaining of his injuries. I know he said, I think he said he was dizzy.
Okay.
And we questioned him, you know, further, you know, about, you know, is your vision blurred, you know, just some simple questioning. And he was definitely alert and not, he didn't appear to be impaired, like his speech, you know, his speech was good and everything. And he really didn't say a whole lot when I was more like just cleaning him up. He really didn't say a whole lot to me. I do remember him saying, though, that he was dizzy. But I don't. Now, like I said, there was several of us there. You know, he may have spoke to somebody else.
Did he, while he was being treated, did y'all do any other assessments of his other areas of his body?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
But he didn't make any statements that you're aware. Did he make any statements you were aware of that would make you look at any other parts of his body?
I did not look anywhere else.
Oh, let me put it like this: if he did, told you, if he just said, "My knee really hurts," would y'all look at it?
I mean, if someone complains of an injury, so, we would look at it. So I'm just trying to remember what, and I'm horrible. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, you know.
That's okay. Neither can I.
I'm trying to really think of what, but yes, we would have looked at some other injury, but I did not. But I know that he was complaining of the injuries that I was looking at.
Okay.
Like, I know when I was trying to get the dry blood off where you have to push a little harder,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of out, you know, but it wasn't, and I know he said his face hurt from his nose, but beyond what I was treating, he didn't complain to me about anything else.
You see any injuries on his hands?
I don't even think I looked at his hands, to be honest.
All right. Other than his complaints about his injuries, did he make any statements about what occurred?
No. And I didn't ask anything.
Okay.
Didn't.
Yeah. You won't call him making any, just saying anything about what occurred or what, or any statements other than medical?
No, not to me.
Okay. And I'm going to back up just a hair here because I don't remember asking this, but I'm going to do it again just to make sure I've covered it. When you were with Mr. Martin,
yes.
Was he ever conscious?
No.
So I know this may seem silly to you, but so did he ever? So since he was never conscious, no statements were made by him, correct?
No.
Okay. All right.
The victim we now know as Trevon Martin. Can you describe when you first walked up what you saw? Clothing, wound, or anything that you know that you can put together?
He was laying on his back. Like I said, when we got up there, walking up, the police officers were doing CPR, and then they you know, backed away. To be honest, the only clothing that I can tell you that I know for sure was some kind of sweatshirt with a pocket, because...
And you're describing the pocket as where?
Like waist.
Is that when you put your hands in here?
Yeah,
it's warm.
Like,
oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
Kind of on your belly, on your stomach.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because when I went to lift it to assess his chest, there was a can in there, and I had to get it kind of out of the way.
Okay.
And I just set it next to him. I took that out, but I set it right next to him.
Was this can heavy?
Yes. It was full. I don't know. Well, now I know.
Now you know what it
was. But at the time, I just figured it was a soda or something. But it was, I know it was a, like one of those tall cans. I don't know, like an energy drink, you know, that
okay.
type of can.
Okay.
But, and I just put that to the side. And, but clothing-wise, that's, I couldn't even tell you anything about the shirt itself. But I think he had on a shirt underneath, but I just moved them all together.
Okay.
And then I looked at his chest, and he had a small bullet hole in his chest area that wasn't even bleeding.
Did you see any other injuries?
No.
When you were treating who we now know as Zimmerman, who was in the back of the car, do you recall clothing that he would have been wearing?
I don't. I don't. I don't. I think he had on long pants and kind of like almost a dress shoe, but I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure.
Do you remember the weather that night?
It wasn't raining, but I don't know. It wasn't raining, I don't think. No, I don't remember.
Or the weather that day?
I don't.
It's fine.
So.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
It's okay.
You won't remember what you remember. That's why we interview everybody, to get a little piece from everybody.
Right.
Ma'am, is there anything that we haven't asked you about that you think is significant that we need to add to the record?
I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. All right, it is now 11:36 a.m., and that concludes this interview.